From the bayous in Louisiana to the timber country up north, you'll find them out on the trap line chasing furs to put up on the board. Mixing up another batch of that magical stuff, chilling around the fire after the show. Hey, it's Sarah and Jeff, and maybe a guest on the Trappin' Radio.
Well, hey there, folks. This is Chip Davis, and I'm actually going to sit in as partial guest host tonight with you guys on Trapper Radio, and it has been a minute since I've been here. I've missed you guys. I still listen to most all the shows, and you know, Jeff and I still, we've been great friends forever and ever, and we're actually sitting in, where are we, Harrisonburg, Virginia right now at the NTA National. I understand the show's going up pretty doggone quick, maybe this evening, maybe tomorrow, but the NTA is going on now, just started. We just got through with a bunch of business meetings for National Trappers Association, and setup day is tomorrow. Everybody's got a lot of excitement. If you need any trapping supplies, if you're anywhere remotely close to the Virginia area, even three or four or five states away, there'll be folks here from all over the country. We welcome you, and I am so glad to have a chance to sit back in with you. Like I said, I've missed you guys so much and hosted a lot of these things over the years. But we got a special show tonight. I'm sitting here with Jeff. He's sitting right here across the way, and we also got another special guest here we'll introduce just in a second. Jeff, you need to cover any sponsors or anything before we get started?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
We don't have sponsors.
Okay, so it has been a minute now since I've been here.
Dunlap Lures.
Dunlap Lures. Absolutely.
Dunlap Lures. She traps her brother.
She traps. Yeah, the death dealer. Yeah. And yep, absolutely. So
the good thing with not having sponsors, you're beholden to none.
That's right. That's so cool. Well, I will say, since it's kind of in my blood, I will say Jeff and Sarah make some awesome, awesome lures. And if you hadn't seen Sarah's product line with all the I don't even know exactly, decorative art, decorative trapping art, maybe is what I was trying to say. But everything from coasters to signs to koozies to you name it. I mean, just some glass heads. It's just, she's really, really talented with what she does.
Her stuff, she is.
It looks great, and it's very, very reasonable priced. You can pick it up this weekend here in Harrisonburg. They'll be at different shows. We just got through talking a minute ago. I know they'll be at FTA in Spencer, Iowa next week, and even Minnesota maybe the week after, I think.
Yep.
And so anywhere close to you, you want to get out to one of these shows, one of these conventions, you want to support trapping, you want to watch some of the demos, learn, improve, hone on your skills some, but definitely stop by Jeff's booth and you know, and just kind of take a look. They got so much stuff. We were just talking to Mars, their setup day. They're estimating about 8 to 10 hours to set up off the product that they're bringing.
And that's so, if she can keep me moving.
That's right. That's right. So at least it's air conditioned this show. So you get to some of these, it's hot, and it may take double that. You know, when you move. Well,
they were asking me at dinner tonight, Travis and all of them, is both of them buildings next year air conditioned? I was like, I was only concerned with the one I was in. And the answer would be yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I'll tell you, all the listeners, and I've probably told you this before over the years, but what usually happens is general structure for these NTA national conventions is we have business meetings. Obviously, you know, we've got officers and all that, and we'll have executive council meetings on Mondays typically. Then on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we'll have the actual full board meetings where the full board is there, and we take care of, through those 3 days, we take care of all the business for NTA at convention. And you know, we meet other times throughout the year and various committees and various different different things, and we'll take care of business. But this is the big one. This is the big show, and these couple of days right now are when most of the business is getting taken care of. And one order of business that we're taking care of is our current president. Many of you know Mr. John Daniels. He has served us for 6 years now. Part of NTA's business is we have 2 3-year terms, and that's all that you're allowed to serve. So John's terming out, and we have the incoming president. The election's already been, and actually Rusty Kramer is the new president. Rusty's sitting right here, and I wanted to introduce Rusty to the Trapping Radio listeners. I feel like I've know all your listeners personally because I've hosted so many shows for so long, and Rusty's a great friend of mine. Rusty and I work together good. So Rusty, meet Trapping Radio. Here they are.
Well, thanks for having me on. I've talked to Jeff about being on here a couple times, just never got around to it. So he's right here in the same motel as us, and so thought what better time to do it than right here at the convention. So, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, welcome aboard, Rusty. Tell them a little bit about you, where you're from, and maybe a little about your background, and then we'll get into some of your trapping, and maybe we might even get into some of the visions that you have for NTA and some of the other organizations out there.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in southern Idaho, and I'm living in southern Idaho with my wife, Missy, and I got a couple kids that are all grown up, but I farm and run an irrigation district and trap in the winter, and just learned trapping from my dad. I think the best way to learn trapping is to just learn from somebody watching over their shoulder and just modifying your trapping style, learning from the animals, and not a tremendously big water trapper in desert country, but trapped all everything from beaver to coyotes and wolves and bobcats and everything, and really like coyote trapping, but now really focus on a couple months every year on wolf trapping since there's some money with the reimbursement, and been the Idaho Trapper Association president for 11 years or so, and just kind of getting into this NTA leadership the last few years, and just going to get sworn in here in a couple days as the NTA president.
Awesome. Well, I've worked with you on a number of different things over the last several years, from NTF to different committees that we both happen to serve on. And I can tell you firsthand, Rusty's a level-headed guy. He's a solid thinker. He's a forward thinker. Back in the day, we've talked about that a lot on this program. Critical thinking. Rusty is cool under pressure, and Rusty, we're glad that you're aboard. Maybe just kind of in your eyes, Rusty, kind of explain MTA and to somebody that maybe we have a lot of new listeners in and out every week and all that, and maybe just kind of give an overview. Maybe for some of us old guys, we've kind of been around this thing for a while and have an understanding, but for some of the new ones, they may not even realize even what NTA is and what National Trappers Association does.
Yeah, the National Trappers Association, if you want to sum it up in a sentence, it's just to protect and promote trapping and educate on trapping across the entire United States. And so I just said that in the meetings today in my report. Want to remind folks that we don't want to be Big Brother and come in on a state that doesn't want us there. We let the state associations do their thing, but we are ready to swoop in at a moment's notice, whether they're just needing guidance, needing our lawyer, or needing full-fledged help or intervene in a lawsuit or wherever it may be, and we're here to protect trapping all across the nation and just really getting into it. And it's just a really interesting and rewarding position.
Yeah, and there's so many different sides. So we heard our report from our legal counsel today, and I'm probably going to screw this up because I'm not at my notebook. And I don't even know where it's at this point in time. It's not in that one. It's in my other one. But I think right now we have four ongoing lawsuits, and they are in New Mexico. One's in Idaho, or is it two in Idaho?
No, one in Idaho, one in Montana.
And one in Oregon. Is there another?
No, we've provided some just some legal counsel and guidance, like in the Michigan Coyote case, and provided some legal guidance on some other ones. But those are our main ones. And you said New Mexico,
didn't you? Yeah. And not to go into the details on those, and we do know the details and we know what's happening. A lot of times we're a little bit limited because, believe it or not, antis are always looking. They'll even listen to programs like this to try to find the little clues. And so, you know, if you're a football team, you can't accidentally leave your playbook on the opponent's bench, you know. And so that's the reason we it's not a secret amongst trappers, but we got to be guarded and careful of what we say and disclose. But there's no secret that we're actively fighting for the trappers, and we're actively fighting against the antis, and it's no secret that these cases are happening in these states. You know, there was a statewide ban of trapping, and I think I can get away with saying this, in New Mexico, that very much could be challenged, and we feel very good about that case. Oregon, with a almost middle of the night, one vote difference vote, the state of Oregon voted to ban all public land beaver trapping for no real apparent biological reason, no research involved in different things, and I may have even gone over the line there. Idaho, you may want to explain just the generalities of the Idaho.
You know, a lot of the stuff with both Idaho and Montana are just really deeply involved with the ESA, Endangered Species Act, where they, since grizzlies are on the endangered species list, even though no one's ever caught a grizzly in a wolf trap, they have said that since the potential is there, that they have shut down wolf trapping, and it was over half of the state, and so it's just pretty frustrating when the ESA gets used against you. But it was with NTAs, Idaho Trapper Association is interveners in a lawsuit along with National Trapper Association using NTA's lawyer. And so just intervening in that lawsuit and joining forces with the state. And we never want to put all of our eggs in the agency's basket and want to control our own destiny. And I keep saying, what the heck's a trapping association for if we're not here to fight when there's a tax on trapping? So,
yeah, absolutely. And so many of you know, I happen to hail from Mississippi, and we're not as targeted as other more, I don't know what the right word is, in the spotlight trapping states. Like a Michigan, where Jeff and Sarah are from, like a Minnesota or Idaho or Oregon. I mean, it's just the heritage of trapping, I think, is much deeper and deeper rooted in the northern states than it is in the south. But hey, there's some of us in the south that are just as passionate about this thing as there are others. So my point is this: if you live in a state like my home state or any southern state or even some of the Midwestern states that don't really have a lot of pressure, you better get ready now while you don't have pressure. You need to build your alliances, and you know, that's what these organizations, both NTA, also FTA, that's what they're here for, is to protect, promote, and preserve trapping. And that's literally what our mission is. Yep, Rusty, I'm glad you're on the team. We work super, super well together. And like I said before, you know, what I admire so much in you, you think on your feet, and, you know, you're pretty smooth with your words, and you've got a good, solid head on your shoulders. And so maybe kind of let us know what are those of us that are NTA members, and those of us that are around NTA a lot or kind of understand it, or just us trappers that probably need to be, kind of explain your vision for the next few years.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the compliments there, Chip. You probably spoke too highly of me there, but...
I didn't say you were pretty now.
Well, I... you know, when I ran for general organizer, this is my second term as general organizer right now. When I ran my campaign letter the first time, I got a lot of flack for one sentence that I said, and actually a lot more flack than I ever thought. And, but I still stick by that. It was, whenever it was, well, it was 2001 or whenever it was, I just said, we can't continue to do things the same way we did in 1981 or 40 years ago or however I said it. Man, I had a couple people just read me the riot act on that one sentence, but I still stick with that. Where, I mean, I'm a fur guy, put fur up, and you know, my dad, I grew up like that, don't waste anything and put up any kind of fur you can, but we have got to be flexible and we've got to be completely adapting to 2025 here, and a lot of the nation isn't the same as it was, you know, back in the 80s when coon were 30 bucks, and we have got to be able to adapt and change. And so I've really looked at a lot of stuff on how to pull in some of the wildlife control operators that aren't part of NTA. They're still trappers too. I don't care if you're catching a squirrel or a coon in the suburbs of Chicago or you're trapping wolves in interior Idaho, you're still a trapper, and we need to get those guys on board, joined up with the Trappers Association, and show them what we can bring to the table. And this, besides the wildlife control operators, this nest raider craze, I'm the farthest from Southeast as you can get my whole life. And I can just see going to BMP meetings and talking to various people how much excitement and craze is over this nest raider thing down in the Southeast. And we have got to get in front of all of those new trappers, whether they're trying to protect their deer on their high fence, or they're trying to protect their turkeys on their hunting club, or whatever it may be. All those new trappers need to realize what NTA can bring to the table and get those trappers on board. It's not maybe as sexy as when fur prices and coon and fox were great prices, but we've got to adapt or we're going to be dead, and our kids and grandkids aren't going to be able to trap anymore. And so that's one big push that I want to bring to the table and try and bring those guys in. We're talking 150 to 200,000 trappers in the United States, and we're talking under 10,000 NTA members. And you know, I've heard it all my life in Idaho. I've really pushed membership in a small state like Idaho, but I still hear it's not quite in the family's budget. Well, they've got a case of beer and handful of scratch tickets under their arm, and here we really, really fight and fight for your rights. I just encourage everybody to sign up and support, and we'll do everything we can to protect trapping, and we're here to work for you. And my phone's always open if you've got questions, if you got issues. But that's a big thing that I want to, the nest raiders and the wildlife control operators. I've got a few other things, but we don't want to get too boring on my list of tasks here.
Gotcha. Jeff, you have any questions?
No, I'm just enjoying listening.
Still running from the road.
I'm still driving over that mountain freaking out.
Yep. That's a wide, long, windy road across those Blue Ridge Mountains for sure to get in here. Pretty country when you get across them, but yeah. So
you lure vendors spend a tremendous amount of time on the road. I don't think people realize how much gas station coffee and miles you guys, steering wheel time you guys have.
That's actually where I was going next, is and to weave kind of both what we've been talking about into and what's about to happen, you know, after the next, well, the next 4 or 5 days, I guess now. So I think I mentioned earlier in the show, tomorrow's setup day for the vendors. But what I wanted to talk about, and Rusty, I'll let you kind of touch on this too. You know, we talked about a bunch about the boring business. That's super important because that's what's literally protecting our rights to trap. And we're intervening in lawsuits. We're bringing lawsuits. We're defending lawsuits. We're doing all this stuff. We're all these educational programs, scholarship things. There's so many things, not to mention the fundraising and all the stuff, because it takes money to do this. And we desperately need members. We need all the help we can get. But at the end of the day, one of the other things that we do is put on these trade shows. Typically we have, correct me if I'm wrong, Rusty, is it five? No, it's four. It's three regionals, or is it four regionals?
Nope, it's just three.
Three regionals. You got Northeast, Southeast, and Western regionals. Yeah. And then we have the national show. That is, now there's other, FTA puts on a bunch of shows. There's other states, state trapping associations that put shows on, but as far as on a national level, it pretty much boils down to NTA and FTA. And look, where there's no animosity anymore, I understand there's been long histories in the past. Hey guys, we got a band together. If you trap, you need to be members of both. You need to support both. And the other thing that you really need to do is support your trapping dealers. This is not a plug for Jeff, because there'll be a lot of other people, and Jeff will be competing for business against other people. Just take time, meet the dealers, smell the lures. You'll find where the quality is, and you'll find where the quality is not. These are absolute professional people that travel a long way. Rusty, I wanted you to comment on the show portion itself, especially the nationals. That's kind of the ultimate show. Every year, when I owned my trapping supply business, I owned Expand the Pan, for the people that don't know. F&T, great folks over at F&T. They carry that full product line. They own that product line now. Fully support the guys at F&T. Always were great to do business with when I was wholesaling to them, and even retailing to the public. They were huge supporters, and I am so glad that my quote-unquote pet baby that I created, Expand the Pans, in such great hands with F&T now. So, but it goes just, that's just a personal thing, but so many opportunities for the trapper, so many opportunities to learn. So explain a little bit about that, Rusty, of what happens at what most people consider convention, that, you know, don't necessarily come to the board meetings or whatever, but are there for the, you know, for the national convention.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chip. And well, I'll give a plug to Dunlap on, you know, he's take time. He could be sitting down right now and resting after his long drive. And here he came over the room and promoting, letting us jump on here. So very quality lures, and he's been in business a long time. I tell people that you guys need to come down here and support the guys that are supporting NTA. These guys travel a long ways. You can save on shipping. Come on down and support the people that are supporting the conventions. But if you haven't been to one of these conventions before, it's actually kind of overwhelming when you first get there, because anything, like my mother-in-law, it's flying out just because she wants to go look at the stuff. She's not a trapper or anything. I mean, when you get to the tailgaters, there's everything from antiques to collector traps to snowshoes to... I don't know if anybody's going to hear this before they started, but it's a funny story. Last year, I was like only at an NTA convention. The grandpa was asleep in the chair, and this 12-year-old kid was having me taste moonshine from Texas. And I tasted four different ones, and he's like, this is the cranberry blend, and this is that. And the grandpa's snoring the thing, and I'm like, well, I guess I'll take a jar of this. And so I paid this, and he goes, did you need other help? I'm like, no. And I go, I don't know the legality even of buying moonshine from a 12-year-old, but what the heck. And I was like, sounds good. I stuck it in my bag and went. But you know, it's the amount of, I was in South Dakota last year and literally found a no hunting or trapping on like wildlife refuge Idaho sign. Took it to our director of fishing game. He goes, let me see that picture. And they sent it to two others. He goes, we have never seen that sign before. And I found it in South Dakota at the tailgaters. But
wow.
Everything from old traps to then when you get inside, any kind of lure, traps, trapping supply, trapping whatever, like you're saying, knickknacks to tan fur to everything. And then if you look at the demo schedule, are you doing a demo this week?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jeff's doing a demo. All the biggest trappers around are literally doing demos. And, you know, you get back, like I was telling my dad was saying that. He goes, when I was a kid and no one told anything, you can literally sit down and watch the greatest trappers in the United States, watch them do a demo, whether it's beaver trapping, beaver fleshing, coyote trapping, whatever it is. And you literally sit down and watch a demo. And so they've got demos running for 3 days. And we got a couple banquets in the evenings and all these vendors, people to talk to. And we were talking about that today. You literally can just walk around and spark up a conversation with this guy's from Vermont, this guy's from Texas. Everybody's trappers there. And it is the big granddaddy of them all. This is the show right here. So I've never been to Virginia in my entire life.
Right.
Yesterday was first day ever.
So again, because
Virginia is for lovers.
I saw that sign. What does that even mean?
That Brian Nelson, you have to ask him.
I was like, is that a new age thing? Because I saw that when we walked up the airport. I'm like, what does that mean?
I saw the sign. I said, I don't know what it means, but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
No. So going back,
to Virginia is not for lovers. Prove me wrong.
Love it. So because we may have some listeners that possibly could be a little bit new to trapping and maybe have never even been to a trapping convention, I remember when I was first getting into trapping, I heard this term a time or two, and I had to literally finally ask my trapping mentor, and I was like in my teenage years when I started, but what is even a demo? Jeff, you're probably the best. What is your demo, by the way? Let folks know when your demo is. Do you know?
I think it's like right before Tommy Bryant's demo, but other than that, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
I think it's Friday.
All right. We got a brochure right here. We're about to look it up.
I know, the listeners usually Sarah tells me your demo is in an hour.
Yeah.
Did they put you in front of Tommy Bryant for a reason?
Probably.
We're looking it up.
So you could show him up or something?
So while they're looking it up, let me just explain, because I at one time, and I've given a lot of them, give them at Nationals and all. Here we go.
Yep, 10 o'clock.
Friday? Is that
right?
Friday at 10 a.m. Yep. If you can be here, you do not want to miss this one. So back to, and I'm going to let the other two guys kind of give their take too, but basically a demo is short for a demonstration, and usually it'll be on a particular topic. What are you doing it on this year?
Bobcats.
All right, so Jeff is on Bobcats this year, and he'll show you several different sets, I'm sure. Jeff, I've watched a bunch of his demos before. He does a great job on it, and he basically explains that particular set typically is how this works in detail, how he does them himself, one of the best trappers in the whole United States of America, and how he catches so many bobcats. And sometimes I've seen him do it on other species too. I've seen beaver demos that Jeff's done. I've seen coyote demos that Jeff's done. Pretty much any fur bear. And basically, he'll slow down. And I've also trapped with Jeff a couple of different years.
Yeah.
And so Jeff and I both trapped.
Wait, didn't you say you trapped Jeff?
Yeah, we're not going to tell that story.
Oh, okay. I guess that can be edited out.
But no, that was a funny story. We were sitting in the same locations. He didn't know where I was, and it kind of actually made me proud when he stepped in a couple of my sets, and that my, because I'd already had him set. I'd been there a couple of days before Jeff got there, and so it kind of made me proud that one of the top trappers in the nation saw the same location that I saw.
We had sets right by each other, and Chip caught the coyote, and I didn't, and I was so glad because it had the mange really bad. <That's right. laughs> I was like, Chip, you got a mangy coyote, you have to go deal with.
I had a government trapper once. He said he was way back in there, and the two trails came down like that, and he knelt down. And he says, this is no BS. He went to go dig the trap, and he went clunk with like the second one. And there's a new house buried right at the fork there. And he says, well, I guess it was a good location. I guess it was a good location because somebody else had put the trap there 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah. So back to where we just kind of started on that, you know, like I said, a lot of people, especially new folks, don't really understand what a demo is. And just to kind of finish that up, that's your opportunity to come to something like NTA National or even your state shows and watch some of these demos and have an opportunity to learn and see some of the top trappers in the whole country in slow motion, not fast like we're speed setting on a real long line and trying to get steel in the ground quick. But they slow down, they tell you the details, they give you so many pointers. But I want Jeff and Rusty both to have a chance to kind of echo that and what, just so folks that say they live in West Virginia or any Maryland or anywhere around here, and they have a chance to come watch these things this week. So kind of explain that in a little bit more detail to somebody. I know a lot of us old trappers know exactly what they are, but guys, kind of be patient just for a second, because we got some kiddos here that may have, you know, the wherewithal to get here and want to come learn. So kind of take what I said and expound on that, and I'd like to hear both of y'all's answers on that.
It's like Rusty was talking about earlier, where, you know, you got guys that have hunting property and they're trying to catch coyotes, and they really, you know, they struggle because they really don't understand the movement of the coyotes or how to do the traps. You know, basically what you have is you have a demonstration from somebody like Rick Miller, you know, that caught 800 coyotes this year all by himself. You got Tommy Bryant, who makes a living catching, you know, live trapping coyotes and fox and everything. So, and these guys don't sell anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're just going there. Like Rick Miller's driving all the way from Iowa. It doesn't sell anything. And Tommy Bryant comes from North Carolina just to help somebody that needs help to be able to take care of their property or help a kid, you know, stay into trapping. And, you know, I mean, when I'm coming here, I mean, I'm coming to sell stuff. But, you know, I want to help people. But, you know, them guys aren't selling anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so, I mean, they could really benefit a lot of people, and they're not holding nothing back. It's like when my dad started trapping, nobody told anybody anything, you know, but when I got back into the lure business years ago, my dad told me, he says, if you're not going to tell trapping wise everything that you know, where I didn't do that, then don't even do it. So, mm-hmm. and I took that advice to heart, where if there's anything about trapping, like if I learned something on a game camera, if I learned something, you know, a track, you know, how they're moving, I tell every single thing I know. And it's going to be the same way with Rick Miller. It's going to be the same way with Tommy Bryant. You know, I mean, you know, is Tommy going to tell you where to go sell coyotes on a live market? No. But will he show you how to catch them on your property as good as anybody in the country? Yeah.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know, and basically all you got to do is coming, your is pay, what, how much is it to come through the gate? 15, 20 bucks or whatever?
20, I think.
Well, if you want to go with out on the line with them and learn, you know, you're talking $500-$600 every mm-hmm. 2 days.
Exactly.
So for the price of admission, which is nothing, because you can go all day long and look at all of the different displays and talk to trappers and pick up hints about stuff. But so the price of admissions, let's say for 30 bucks for the weekend, or you have to pay $600 mm-hmm. and you can, you know, pick up the same thing. I mean, it's not,
right.
You know, and like, you know, I mean, you're going to have another guy where you get to go out on the line. Matt Jones is legendary in the trapping world, and he's going to be here, and him and, you know, Brian are going to go out and be able, you can go on a line with Matt Jones. I mean, there's not too many people who can say they got to go out, right, you know, with Matt Jones and listen to him rag on Brian for an hour. You know? So, yeah. I mean, for the price of admission, I mean, that's pretty damn cheap.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kind of expound on that a little bit, Rusty.
You know, I think the biggest thing, you know, I still, you know, I've trapped all my life, and what I think is the neatest thing, a lot of people ask me, well, how do you trap a coyote or wolf or whatever? And it's not, you know, it's not 2 + 2 = 4. It is a constant learning all the time. And I still watch demos now and pick up tips. Like my style is learned from my father and then ebbed and flowed and evolved over the years. And little bits and pieces I've learned, stolen, whatever you want to call them, from many other trappers, little pieces and bits. And what's cool about this is you can have somebody that's trapped their whole life and watch somebody's demo and they're like, ooh, I picked up this and this. This is pretty cool. Or the brand new trapper that you won't be made, they won't make you feel dumb if you're like, ask a very, you know, elementary question there. That's what they're there doing a demonstration, asking either the very just beginner questions or the very advanced. So if you're just getting into trapping, I highly encourage you to come down here and you can learn a tremendous amount from the greatest there is. Like Jeff said, there's never going to be this much of a collection. You know, you could go pay $2,000 and go with somebody on Trapline, but you are getting the entire collection, all these guys at different demonstrations for 3 straight days.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, we've talked about the trade show part of it. We talked about a little bit of the business side of NTA and what we do. We've talked about a little bit about the demos, but, you know, we still hadn't scratched the surface of what's available at one of these things. Probably one of the most popular attractions, I guess you would say, at these is something that some friends of ours from Illinois started a number of years ago. We call the Kids Cave because the recruitment, guys, you understand, I mean, trapping is, we don't have the recruitment like maybe fishing or maybe hunting does, and we've got to do a really, really good job of this. So I'm going to bounce this one to Rusty because he's probably got more experience than any of us does on this. Just because that Kids Cave has been such a successful thing, tell them a little bit about what's going on there. If you got youngsters, and I think it's anything from, what, in the mid-teens all the way down to toddler age going on. So explain that Kids Cave a little bit. If you got youngsters, you want to hear this and you want to make sure you check that out if you come up this weekend.
There is a tremendous, I mean, you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars already donated in this. And it's a Kids Cave. It's everything from, you know, them learning about different tracks to, you know, shooting a BB gun to all these different activities that are literally tailored for, like Chip said, everything. I mean, I've volunteered in there every year. You've got kids that are in there 3 years old. Everything's completely free in there. And they're giving a bunch of pile of stuff away. But literally kids go play in there for, you know, go through there for an hour, and just a tremendous amount of fun in there. They're coloring stuff. They're dressing up like a mountain man. They're shooting a BB gun. They're doing all these, they're making snares, making weasel boxes, learning how to set a trap, all these different cool things that, you know, like Chip said, getting them involved. And so definitely bring your kids down to this, this convention, because this is a family friendly, we also have little kids trap setting contests where they can win a plaque, but this is a kids friendly event, and that's how we get them started. All these kids are in playing video games and on their phones, and here's a way to get them involved in an outdoor activity. They've only been doing it about 4 or 5 years, and it's just exploded, and it is completely packed with kids for the entire time. But all 3 days they've got, not sure what the hours are there, but definitely bring your kids. Don't be coming down and thinking you got to find a babysitter. There's plenty of things for the kids to do down here.
Absolutely. And so I don't know that this even really happened by design. It's kind of evolved. You know, in the last 10 years, one thing that I've noticed, now going back to what we were kind of regressing the conversation, I got started trapping, I believe my first year was 1984. The reason I remember that is because I was driving before I actually had my driver's license. I was 14 in 84. And I grew up in the days where nobody told you anything. There's a guy, my family farmed, and we had the local trapper guy. I've told this story on Trapper Radio before. The local trapper guy asked permission to trap our place, and I didn't know another trapper. But somehow or another, that man, he was probably less than my age at the time, and I thought he was an old man then. So grew to be one of my mentors and one of my very best influences I've ever had in my life. But he taught me, and he told me a lot, like in the day, I'm sure, growing up, that Jeff's dad taught him. Jeff and I are real close to the same age. And back in those days, you just did not tell anybody anything. But fur prices were so much higher and all that. But I'm going to get back on point here. over the last two or three years, I've noticed a trend. Jeff, I think that you would probably agree with this. I think all of us would. I notice a lot more females getting involved in the sport of trapping. And that's kind of where I wanted to segue into another little arena that we have at this NTA convention. Is we have a whole arena just for ladies. And I know that they do. I don't spend a lot of time in there. Dunlap accuses me of spending more time in there maybe than I should, but at any rate, I know they do some really, really cool lady stuff in there. They have sewing projects going on where they'll literally teach you how to take that finished raw fur and actually make garments out of it, different things. You know, I know, Jeff, you're working the booth. Rusty, you're walking around. Maybe either one of you guys comment on that, but that's the cool thing is we're offering something to everybody in the family. But comments for the, I mean, I was, know we, when I was really involved in Trapper Radio, I know we used to have quite a few ladies that listened as well. So y'all comment on the, what do we call it? She side, I think, is that still, or is that just the article? But the ladies section I mean, I know there's a lot of different things there.
Well, first of all, I wanted to back up. 84, Jeff and me weren't even alive when he was talking about trapping. Jeff and me weren't even alive then. But back to the she side. It's, you know, we dedicate several pages to National Trappers, and it's been this big influx of ladies getting into trapping. There's been several that have made it very popular. And if you watch any of Jeff's content, you see Sarah is always right there in the buggy next to him, checking traps and pulling bobcats, setting snares and all that good stuff. And so I think the big push on this introducing ladies to trapping and some of the, you know, the pink wear and a lot of the stuff that you guys have at your booth really caters. My wife literally went over to Jeff's table and got a purple sifter because she was getting into trapping, and when she saw that, she has a purple sifter deal that we got from Jeff's table last year at the convention. But Jeff, I don't know, what do you got to say on the?
I've never really, Sarah was involved one year, they had her do a demo at the She Side, but you know, she's been more involved with like the Wisconsin women group, mm-hmm. which the thing I've seen from that is when the women's do that stuff, how tight they are together, mm-hmm. where the guys aren't as tight. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that is, but it's like they camp together in Wisconsin. You know, I mean, it's and like up to Escanaba because it's close to Wisconsin. You know, the women come to the thing and, you know, they're hugging Sarah and, you know, cause she's an instructor up there. And it's just interesting that, you know, every year seeing, like, you know, I think it's 25 or 30 women that they put through there. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see, you know, just, you know, how tight of a group that they are together. And, yep. you know, I mean, that's what we need. You know, we need that influx. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, I've been around a lot of the women, and they're as passionate as any man I've ever saw. But the thing is I've never heard them ever say, I'm not going to trap next year because fur prices are bad. Mm-hmm. I've never heard a woman ever say that.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're going to be out there. They don't care.
Yeah, that's interesting. And
you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when this all started, when they really started seeing the women, I really didn't know how it was going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it could have went bad, but it went great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I'm thankful that they're involved because I just see, you know, like I say, how many women show up and gravitate around Sarah that, you know, if it wasn't for like Sky and different ones in the Wisconsin group, that them mm-hmm. a lot of them women wouldn't be involved.
Right.
You know?
And, right. I think it's
pretty awesome to sit back and watch. You know, and I don't have nothing to do with it. I just am like an outsider looking in, and you
right.
know.
Well, I know
they did let me go over there and drink a few beers at their fire, the Wisconsin convention.
Awesome. Well, I know those girls, Sarah included. We actually tried to get Sarah to sit in on this, and I think they've been on the road all day, so she wanted to go freshen up, and so she's back in upstairs or downstairs. Well, she's not upstairs because I'm on the seventh floor here. This is only seven, but at any rate, Sarah and several others, you mentioned Sky, I know her well as well. They were literally, I think, true pioneers. I think they'll be looked back on as being true pioneers of getting the ladies inside of trapping and involved. And I think I speak for all the NTA that we're happy to facilitate some of that when we can have these programs at National Convention. They're strictly kind of catered toward that and toward, you know, their wants and needs and what their interests are. And so I'm super proud that we're doing that. So, you know,
I think a lot of times, you know, you get where some guys don't want the women, you know, shouldn't be doing their own thing. But the thing is in a lot of times in life, you know, the women deal with other women better because they're not getting necessarily hit on by the guys. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, you have a lot of women that worry about that, you know, and husbands feel insecure about their, but when they like up to Wisconsin, there's no guys allowed.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I mean, you know, the people would feel more secure on something like that.
Exactly. Yep.
And then the next year there'll be Chip all, you know, decked out in his mini skirt.
Well, I thought it was funny when you're talking about
infiltrating the group.
When you were talking about
drinking. Hi, ladies, I'm here.
I thought it was funny when you were talking about drinking beer over there, and then somebody drinks his low carb beer, and so he kind of already drinks the chick beer, so Chip does.
Yeah, Chip-a-lobe.
Yeah, that's
Chip, right. Chip-a-lobe.
Hey, I dropped 75 pounds on the Chip-a-lobe, so. Oh, man. Well, we're not even come close to covering even half of what's, you know, we talked about.
Nobody's even going to believe that Chip's really doing the interview. They haven't heard.
That's right. Oh, man. So we still got a couple of other things that'll happen throughout the course of this week that we want to invite you to if you're, again, anywhere close enough to come. We got a couple of different auctions lined up. So NTA has a sister organization. It's called NTF's National Trappers Foundation. The difference is NTF, which again stands for National Trappers Foundation, is a 501c3, so it's tax deductible, and their purpose is to support. So I guess I would be remiss if I didn't say that NTA is a 501c6, which is not tax deductible, but that tax bracket designation allows us to fight for trapping in other ways. So we need a 501c3, and that is defined by NTF. We'll have a banquet, and we'll give out a few awards to some very deserving people that have busted their tail for years and really, really grown this organization to what it is, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Right after that, we're going to go into an auction, and we're going to have a really, really unique auction this time. I can guarantee you this is going to happen. We will have, in the history of all auctions, the ugliest auctioneer calling the sale that's ever been in the history of auctions. So I just leave it at that. And a lot of people know that I'm auctioneer.
I'm not going to start naming off names who it might be.
But he is a capital UGLEY.
You could probably get Jeff to come Vanna White for you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You guys could be the perfect pair.
That's right. That's right. I don't know. I'm ugly enough, but when you pair him up there as a raffle girl, that might like destroy the show. We may not have any buyers left after that. So at any rate, so that is actually, I believe, on Thursday night. You know, I think there's actually even a concert out at the fairgrounds tomorrow night, and then we'll have the NTF auction. It'll be a lot of fun. Auction awards banquet on Thursday night. We're not done partying yet. Friday night, we'll have a presence reception. I mentioned earlier that John Daniels served us super, super well for the last 6 years. We're so proud of the leadership he's provided.
I don't remember him saying anything like that.
So this will be John's kind of going away party, and there'll also be an auction there, and that same ugly auctioneer will be calling that one as well. So that is going to be a fun night. I think we're I think we're maybe there's just a very few handful of tickets left for the President's Dinner on Friday evening. But I do think that unless there's a cancellation, that the NTF banquet is sold out. Check with us when you get here. If somebody cancels or if there's any tickets come available, we'll definitely let you know. I know I'm missing a ton of different things here. We've talked about tailgaters, we've talked about the show, and it's about time to start wrapping up here. We've been going for almost 50 minutes now. You still run them about an hour? Whatever it comes to.
Your sponsors can't yell at you if they're no sponsors.
Yeah, no sponsors. All right.
I'm the only sponsor. Just keep talking.
You can't fire yourself, can you?
I try every day.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking in meetings for 2 days, and I still got some more talks to do tomorrow, and then I got to talk really fast each night the next two nights. So at these auctions. So we'll start closing up here. I'd like to kind of go around the room real quick, and I'll start this off. General NTA convention, the three of us have attended a ton of them. A general overall synopsis and kind of blend all of them together, you know, and I'll start. And for me, I started going to these things because I had, it literally came from the show. It came from Trapper Radio. From Trapper Radio, I had an idea that was really Clint Locklear's idea when he started Trapping Radio years ago. Jeff since bought this podcast from him, but it was idea of Big Pans. Clint was making them. I farmed at the time and had a CNC machine, so I started making those Big Pans, and they kind of caught on a little bit. You know, Jeff really wanted me to name my company Training Wheels Pans or something like that, but at any rate, for whatever reason, they caught on the market, and we sold a lot of them, and then we sold the company, but I needed a way to market, and I really wasn't. I was an NTA member at the time because I was a MTA, Mississippi Trappers Association member, and had been since my childhood when I started trapping. I'd been exposed to the National Trappers Association from our state organization, but I'd never been to a national. And once I created that business and I had a product and I needed to sell, that's where it started with me. And I learned so much by coming to these conventions. My skill set increased. It really helped me to become a much better trapper. One of the biggest things when I really got involved on a national level, and even a state level to that regard, but especially a national level where you're around these folks only once a year, but then you're communicating with them probably average of once every 6 weeks or so, would you say, Rusty, from the NTA business? And they become a family. They literally become a second family. I even saw this on the vendor side. You know, I mean, Jeff's a brother of mine for years. I mean, we had this pact, and I'm sure you guys still do. We would a lot of times try our best to set a group of us that were really, really good friends, set our booth spaces up very close to each other. Jeff pretty much knew what my prices were. I knew what his were, and if I needed to do something as simple as go take a leak or go grab a sandwich at lunch or whatever, I didn't have to worry about walking away because he was family almost. You know, I mean, I could walk away and I wasn't going to miss a sale. He saw somebody look at my product and he said, you're interested in that? And boom, I come back and he says, he'd usually put it under something on his table and said, here, I sold this for you. And I'd do the same thing in return, and so would several others that we set up with. And it becomes a family. It becomes something so much bigger. So the education value from the demos and learning, being around, the relationships that you build through this are invaluable, I think. For me, you know, plus the support of something that without something like NTA, we very, very likely could lose. I mean, these antis are real. They're coming tooth and nail for us. We've got to have somebody that stands up to defend this, but that's hugely important, and many people by many accounts said maybe the most important thing, but so much more when you really become involved. It's almost like, I think today I probably value that pseudo family aspect more than I do anything else. And I've been around this thing for a year or two. So that's kind of my overview and overtake. I'd be remiss if I kind of have said the educational value too. So Rusty, what's your kind of synopsis of these?
Well, I know that seems quite the cop-out, but Chip completely stole. I was talking to somebody about, like, our Idaho events, and it's like a big family event, family reunion where all these people you only see once or twice a year, and it's just, if you explain that to somebody else, it sounds like the craziest flipping thing in the world, where you're like, well, you go to a convention, or you go to a first sale, you go to these things, and you see all these people, and then you don't see them again for a year, and you tell other people, non-trappers, and they think it's the craziest thing in the world. But you can literally just walk around, and I can remember last year just going from walking to a camp, and they're like, oh, hey, here, you want a beer? Hey, do you want a burger? Hey, where are you from? Oh, yeah, we're from Alabama, and we trap beaver, and we start talking, and I remember 2 years ago, I'm literally taking a leak. Maybe this is a little too graphic, but taking a leak, and I look over and I'm buckling my pants, and there's JC O'Connor, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I've always wanted to meet him, and I was like, well, this is kind of a little awkward in the bathroom here, and I went outside, took a picture with him. I texted my dad. I'm like, holy cow, I just met, and he goes, you're kidding me, and you can literally just be walking around, and here is the trapping legends that you've always read about or read about in magazines, or, you know, yesterday I was just bored. We got done with the first meetings, and I go out, and Pingley's sitting there on the hitch, just sitting there, and I talk coyotes with him for 45 minutes. It's raining on us, and my wife called me. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. We're just sitting on a hitch talking coyotes. And, I mean, where else can you, if you have anything like that, you want to talk coon, you want to talk about whatever, you can literally walk around and everyone is your friend at these kind of deals, because everyone is like-minded here. You can just go talk trapping with any random person anywhere across this whole place. I don't know how many people are like, hey, I think I know you from Facebook or whatever. It's just kind of a weird, I shouldn't call it weird, just a very unique extended family deal where we only see each other a couple times a year, and it's hard to explain for the non-trapping community, but it's just a really, really cool. I still think they could do like a documentary on everybody getting together and just hanging out and having some beers and BSing and talking strategy. And it's just kind of very, very cool whole deal.
Jeff, what's your take on that?
I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you go to the conventions, you know, like Rusty said, and you said, you know, you just see people once or twice a year. You just pick up right where you left off. And, you know, but I think going to the conventions, it makes it where, if, you know, like, I really care that they don't lose trapping in North Carolina, because I'm such good friends with Tommy, Brian. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and... you know, and as you meet people in other states and they're, you know, might lose their trapping, you know, I mean, it becomes more personal. It isn't just, you know, New Mexico, you know, lost their trapping. You have a friend or somebody you really know or care about that, you know, is being affected by this, you know, where it isn't ever going to touch you.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, you go out and meet these people and, you know, I mean... And the other thing is by going to these and meeting all the people I've met, I've got to go on some really awesome trips. Like, you know, I met Chappie, mm-hmm, at conventions, and I got to go out, you know, we've been friends for years now. And, you know, me and Sarah went out and, you know, went fisher trapping, you know, out to New York and in the, you know, the Catskill Mountains. Wasn't for conventions, never would have happened.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I got to go to Texas, you know, and, mm-hmm, trap down there. You know, that was meeting people at conventions. You know, I mean, I've been all over the United States trapping by the friendships I've made, you know, and I mean, you're not going to do that, you know, without meeting the people at the conventions. You might meet, you know, somebody online and it might work out. But I've heard horror story after horror stories of where somebody's supposed to be able to go somewhere, you know, by meeting somebody online, and they get there and it isn't lined up. But, you know, when you evaluate somebody in person, it's a lot different.
Oh, 100%.
You know, but I think that, you know, like we're talking about, you know, people, I've learned a lot of demos. I'm going to be at Rick Miller's demo, and if I can squeeze away, I'll be at Tommy's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm definitely going to be at, I've got to look at the thing. Leon's, mm-hmm, Leon Smith's demo, mm-hmm, you know, and I mean, there's demos I'm not going to miss because I feel that them guys got a lot to offer and, you know, are, you know, better trappers than me on a lot of, mm-hmm, species. So if I can pick up one little thing, so, you know, I'm going to be there.
That's a cool thing where you're talking about the different states, because it was, my wife asked me, we were down at the Western, down there in Elko, a little small convention, but she's like, how's it going? I'm like, I just started BSing with a guy. I've got plans set up. I'm going to Battle Mountain to never trapped a Kit Fox. And she's like, you just met him? I'm like, I don't know. We just passed each other in the hall. I don't know. And he's saying I can just bunk up in his house and stay there and come down and catch Kit Fox for to stay down there for a week. And like, doesn't that sound a little weird? And I'm like, well, I guess if you say it like that, but no, not really. I talked to him for 10 minutes and sounds like we BS'd for a while, and I'm gonna go down there and trap a couple of Kit Fox.
It ain't that weird. He said he had a double bed.
Yeah,
he'd have had a single. That'd be weird.
That's right.
All right, so we're gonna close up here. Before we do, parting words of wisdom. I'm gonna start with Jeff this time.
Wisdom on what?
Well, since we've been pretty much dedicated this whole show to, number one, introducing Rusty, and obviously at some point in time John will hear this, and we started off by thanking him, but we really spent most of the show on NTA conventions. So any parting words or encouragement to our listeners?
I think that we have really good leadership now in the NTA. I'm a member of the NTA because of John Daniels. If it wasn't for John Daniels becoming president, I wouldn't be a member of the NTA if it would continue going down. But I think, Rusty's going to do a good job, and I think that, people should get behind it and support it, because if they don't, then it isn't going to be the association that they really want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the associations, like any family, there's infighting and stuff, but, you get past that, and like now, like the Michigan Trappers and the UP Trappers, if you join them, they automatically buy a membership or however it works. I don't really know how it works, but if you join like the Michigan Trappers, you become a member of the NTA.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I think that, everybody ought to join their state associations and their, the NTA.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have the membership, if they don't have the numbers to walk in someplace and say, we have this amount of people behind us, then we're going to fall flat.
Right.
And we need more than 10,000 people.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of it has to do with, being more active on social media and stuff like that, because the thing is we're never going to get the kids to put the phones down. Everybody says put the phone down. They're not going to put the phone down. You have to reach them and get them interested on their phones to go do, be involved in trapping in the outdoors. So,
very, very well said. Rusty, your parting shots.
Yeah, it's funny, Jeff just talked about that, because our last committee meeting, I left those guys to leave to another meeting and said, I want to create a new committee, and we've got to embrace. We can't just be stuck in, hey, this is the way it was. We've got to be looking forward. We've got to be involved with, YouTube and social media and TikTok and all those things. And I know some people listening to this probably are rolling their eyes, but that is the future, how to get in front of people. And you can get in front of so many people for literally for free, just somebody getting on there. And we have got to look forward and try and be thinking on, where's trapping going to be in 2030, 2040, 2050. And if we are still stuck in 1985, we can sit around the bonfire and have a cocktail and talk about coon prices in 85, but it's not going to do us any good in 2025 and 2030. We have got to be, I hate the word progressive, but we've got to be forward thinking and trying to work with new partners and trying to look at new avenues, how to reach members and get in front of people. And if it's uncomfortable for some people, we just haven't done it that way before, well, I guess they're going to just have to see how we're going here for the next 3 years. Cause I'm looking to, flip a couple tables and try some new things and let's see if we can get this thing really, really going. And I like the momentum we've got with John. He's mentored me a lot, and let's see where we can go for the next my next term and hopefully my next two terms.
It's like you said, it can't be like 1981 anymore. That just doesn't work. You know, I mean, our opposition isn't stuck in 1981.
Yeah, dang right they aren't.
You know, so,
dang right they're not.
And the thing is people worry so much, trappers, not all trappers, but the thing is they're worried about you're going to insult somebody and then they're going to vote against you. If they're that easy to flip, they ain't never going to be on our side anyways. I mean, if they're that wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. And the thing is most of us that are outdoor-oriented don't go and oppose anybody on anything. I mean, I don't care if what people go do in their lives. I'm not going out to protest them. I'm not doing any of it. But the other side is that it does that because, you know, basically they got it too easy in life. You know, if they had to go out and try and, you know, get food on their table, they wouldn't have time to protest. But the thing is we have to get more on the social media, and because like on my videos, let's say there's 30 people on there complaining and yelling and screaming. The thing is that you don't look at that there was 1,500 likes on that and there was only 30 crybaby faces. So the thing is you just can't worry about every person you're
around. And some of them are brand new people just learning trapping too.
Yeah, they don't even know. I mean, some people don't even think trapping even goes on anymore.
Yeah, and yeah.
And something both of you guys said, referencing the past to where we are now, because I think we all learned at some segment of the 80s. But when I learned, and I'm talking about learn to trap, when it was first exposure and
truly. We weren't born until mid-80s.
Okay, yeah, so. Whatever.
Late 80s.
Yeah. but
it's funny how he keeps trying to run us down the same.
Well, I'm still going to reference 84 because that's my start date. In 1984.
Now I think the truth is starting to come out.
We didn't have cell phones. We barely had color televisions. Nobody could spell computer because it wasn't a word. There was no such thing as Google. Never heard of YouTube. Certainly no TikToks, no Instagrams, no Facebooks. I mean, it was bare, and how that seems like yesterday. In my mind, I can close my eyes and I can see that beaver, the first catch I ever made, that Mr. James Tribble taught me how to set a snare. This is my very first catch. And I can see him swimming around in a circle when I walked up on him before school on a Thursday morning in 1984. I can see it in my brain's eye. And it feels like it was 7 days ago.
Yeah.
But it's been 45 years close to it. Maybe more. I don't know. It's been a long time. And so whatever 2025 minus 1984 is how many years it's been.
You can't recreate that.
You can't recreate that. And so things change. And we got to adapt with the changes. And that, I just had to squeeze a quick story in because things are changing at lightning speed. Sometimes we get lulled into not seeing the speed that's changing, but it's changing so fast. Now we're looking at AI. What's it going to be like in another 5, 10, 15 years?
It's like with, you know, not upsetting, you know, certain people or trapping, other trappers. Everybody has their own line in the sand. You know, some people think that you should show nothing online.
Mm-hmm.
Some think that you shouldn't talk about trapping online. Some think you should only show skinned fur online. Some think you should do a dispatch online. So everybody has their own line in the sand that they've drawn. I have mine. You mm-hmm. have yours. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, you just got to move ahead on something. And even if you make a few mistakes, it's not going to destroy, you know, trapping. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they could go out and lie all the time about stuff. They could go out and trap stuff themselves and torture. They have no problem killing animals. They kill millions of animals a year. So, I mean, they would have no problem faking everything. So,
right.
We just have to move ahead and let's show people, that they want to be out involved in the outdoors, that this is, you know, a real lifestyle and that they can go do it. And there's lots of help that they can get to do it in a good way. So,
I just saw an ad when I was just leaving my house last week because we're Idaho Trapper Association. We work closely with the Cattlemen Association, and there was a full-page ad. I think it was vaccine or I don't know what it was, but the title of it, it said in quotes, "The we've always done it before," quote, unquote, the death of any small business. and they were talking about a small ranch or something, but it really resonates. I was sitting there looking at that, and I'm like, okay, we can say that. We've always done this before. This is how we've done things. You know, we've got to be adaptive now. We've got to be, you know, going with the times, and we've got to be changing, and we've got to be, you know, revolving, and we've got to be completely, you know, not stuck in our ways. And that's not easy to say, and that's not forgetting our past. That's not forgetting the people that brought us here, but...
Well, what the NTA and other associations should be doing is what Bill Duke's doing. Is he's going out, and I mean, ain't no secret, you can see Bill's doing it. He goes out and he's getting hooked up with Trapper J, Next Gen Trapper, you know, all these different ones, and all of them guys would, you know, be glad to be, if the NTA or any association would reach out to them. I mean, every one of them is pro trapping. That's what's on their channel, and they would, you know, say join the NTA. You know, I mean, sometimes if you just show somebody a little bit of love, you get a lot of love back. Mm-hmm. You know, and
well, you don't have to say Bill. You don't have to show Bill Duke very much love, and he's like, that guy's the most generous person in the world.
Yeah.
I literally called him last week, not to get on that side tangent. I called him, and he goes, "Well, it is 3:20." In the morning in Korea right now, or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, sorry. No problem. And then I talked to you for an hour.
Yeah.
I said, I'll call you back later. No, I'm already up. And I felt like an ass. But he's the most giving, nicest.
Yeah.
I mean, anything you ask that guy, boy, I just think the world of Bill.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, if some of the trapping associations would model after that, I think it would really go a long way.
That's a good point, Jeff.
Great ideas. Because,
I mean... Bill's a real smart businessman, and I mean, if that's the route he went, you know,
dang right he is
the best flattery you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Bill.
Yeah,
exactly.
Dang right.
All right, folks. So I'm going to close with this. I was before we were on the air.
I thought you know what would have been really good if you said, well, "I'm going to close with this."
Now, literally, before we were on the air and we were kind of talking about how we want to get started with the show and all that, and you know, I asked Jeff what he wanted to do. He said, "Why don't you start it off like you used to start it off?" And I said, "You know, I would love that because I understand we're talking into a machine, a microphone. I mean, we've evolved even now. We're talking about progress. We're recording on Jeff's cell phone. I used to actually have a little recorder that we deal with. That's the extra step. I had to upload a computer and all that. But anyway, I feel like I'm talking to real people because I am talking to real people. I'm just not looking at them in my eyes. And you guys, the men and women, the boys and girls that listen to Trapping Radio are my brothers and sisters. You're the trapper is why we are doing what we do. You, the trapper, is why Jeff continues to spend the money on the server cost and everything's involved with Trapper Radio. You guys, the trapper, is why National Trappers Association is here to try their absolute dead level best to protect, preserve, and promote what we love, our lifestyle, our way of life, which is trapping. You know, there's so much that would not happen without you. And even though you're hearing my voice right now and I'm not looking at your faces, I cannot tell you how much it means to me just to have a chance to be back on here and visit with you again. I mean, this is bringing back such a floods of memories. And thank you so much. This has been a relatively long show from what I used to. We used to target an hour. We've been going an hour and 12 minutes now. So we're going to close up. But thank you so much for listening. You hung in here with us for almost an hour and a quarter now, and we appreciate it so much. I'm going to close with this. If you're not already a member of NTA or your state organization, please, please join them. We need your support. Your support is going to help preserve what you love and what so many of us love. And the last thing I would encourage you, if you're anywhere, we're recording this on a Tuesday evening. The show gates actually don't open up until Thursday morning. Did I say that right? Yes, Thursday morning when the actual show. So you still got plenty of heads up to get here. If you're anywhere within drive time, do yourself a favor and come to Harrisonburg, Virginia. Look on, if you have any trouble finding that, look on NTA's website. Super easy directions. You can find your way here. And if you do come, the last request I'll make, look up Jeff. He'll be at his booth. Look up Rusty. He'll be on the floor moving around. Look up me. I'll be there on and off the show. I'd love to shake your hand and meet you. Thank you again so much for hanging in with us this long. And good luck, tight chains, and this will be Chip signing out for Trapping Radio.